I hope you find the message today to be spiritually uplifting and to fill you throughout the week. May God bless you as you listen to His Word.
Our scripture reading this morning is from James chapter 1, verses 17 through 27. Every generous act of giving with every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. In fulfillment of His own purpose, He gave us birth by the word of truth, so that we would become a kind of first fruits of His creatures. You must understand this, my beloved. Let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. For your anger does not produce God's righteousness. Therefore, rid yourselves of all sordidness and rank growth of wickedness, and welcome with meekness the implanted word that has the power to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. For if any are hearers of the word and not doers, they are like those who look at themselves in a mirror. For they look at themselves and, on going away, immediately forget what they were like. But those who look into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and persevere, being not hearers who forget, but doers who act, they will be blessed in their doing. If any think they are religious and do not bridle their tongues, but deceive their hearts, their religion is worthless. Religion that is poor and pure and undefiled before God, the Father, is this: to care for orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained by the world. May the Lord add His blessing to this reading of His Word.
Thank you, Jim. Appreciate the reading. You know, this book of James is a truly important and profoundly spiritual writing. What Paul does not say or only hints at, James puts in black and white. When James says every generous act of giving with every perfect gift is from above, he's not saying that we're not generous or giving, but he is saying that because of the Lord, we are able to be generous and giving. After all, James does say, so we would become a kind of first fruits of His creatures. That is, that we'd be like Him. That's a generous God. And then James goes on to say, and you heard Jim read this, but you must understand this, my beloved. Let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For your anger does not produce God's righteousness. Therefore, rid yourselves of all sordidness and rank growth of wickedness, and welcome the meekness, the implanted word, that has the power to save your souls. Now, you know, we've had a lot of people talk about anger. We've even talked about anger in this service before. But it's a really important thing, and it is to James, and he brings it up. And if you look at famous people throughout history, we had a lot of them that talked about anger. For example, Gandhi. He said, man should forget his anger before he lies down to sleep. The Roman Emperor Marcus Aurelius said, how much more grievous are the consequences of anger than the causes of it? American journalist Ambrose Bierce said, speak when you are angry and you will make the best speech you will ever regret. The Chinese philosopher Confucius said, when anger rises, think of the consequences. And then we have the American poet Ralph Waldo Emerson, who said, for every minute you remain angry, you give up 60 seconds of peace of mind. Those are wise words. People have a lot to say about anger. So the question for you and me is, how do we let go of anger? How do we let go of it when it's just consuming us and we're so upset with someone, we find it difficult to even look at them? James warns us, anger damages our souls and gives evil a foothold into our lives. Now, that sounds like something we need to get rid of, doesn't it? I mean, you would think if we were believers and we believed what Jesus said, because He spoke on anger, we'd let go of anger. On that note, you may have noticed not everyone agrees with you. You ever notice that? Have you ever noticed that you say something to someone and they don't always agree with you, whether it be a political view, a religious view? Is there anyone in this building today who says, no matter what I do or say, everyone agrees with me? Anyone? Because if you believe that, we might need to go outside and talk for a while. They don't. That being said, have you noticed that we have people in our society who actually get angry because you believe different than them? And they say horrible things about people because they have a disagreement. Well, if you don't believe the way I do, I'm going to curse you. Is that a good thing? And these same people will take a Bible and hold it in their hand and say, I'm a believing Christian. Do you believe that? I remember a time when a politician was elected, and this individual I know said, I hope they kill him his first year. The guy hadn't even taken office yet. I hope they kill him in his first year. This person says that he is a devout Christian. Is that possible? Is that even possible? Let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger, for your anger does not produce God's righteousness. Are you a believer? My dad always said, hate is a powerful emotion. If you don't like someone, fine, don't like them, but never hate anyone, because that is a powerful emotion and you don't want it. You see, we have such a powerful emotion, such as hate, which is fueled by anger. We block out any good that God can do in our hearts. We're actually resisting God when we do that. And all too often, people think that if you're meek, you're weak. You ever heard that? Well, I'm not going to be meek. That makes me a wimp. Well, I hate to tell you this if you believe that, but Jesus was meek, and I don't believe he was weak at all. He was meek but strong. His demeanor produced God's righteousness. Jesus never walked on anyone. He was not a wimp, and he never allowed anyone to wimp him out. He stood up to his detractors. He voiced his opinions, spoke with what was on his mind. He would speak his mind, but he didn't hate the people he spoke to. He wanted to instruct. He loved them and wanted them to learn how to live so as to produce God's righteousness. In fact, he brought life to people that were perceived as his enemies. You remember that? Roman soldier comes, asks Jesus, save my servant. He did. And what did the disciples do? You can't do that. The Romans, we hate the Romans. Jesus said, no, we don't hate. Then you have the Samaritan woman who came up to Jesus and asked for help, and Jesus helped her. And then once again, the disciples said, what are you doing? We hate Samaritans. Jesus said, no, we don't. So he helped. Where do you let your anger go? And what do you allow your anger to produce in your life? Does it produce hate? James says, therefore, rid yourselves of all sordidness and rank growth of wickedness and welcome with meekness the implanted word that has the power to save your souls. That's powerful stuff. Now let's change gears. You've heard a lot about anger and hate. Let's look at this. There are many ways of looking at being helpful. Now James talks about being helpful. Did you hear that when Jim read it? He wants us to be helpful. But he says, you know, don't just be hearers, be doers. And why does he say that? Because it is so easy for you and me to look out and see someone carrying something heavy and say, hey, you need to get a better grip on that. Well, you might want to kind of curve around this way because there's some stuff in the floor. But what if you went up and said, let me help you carry that and let me move those things that are in your way? That's what James is talking about. If we're hearers, we just tell people what to do and how to do it and offer our words. And James says, offer your service. Get out there and be doers of the word. And it's really not being a doer if we're not actually believing. And therein comes the problem. If we truly believe the words of Christ, if we truly believe the gospel, then why are we being hearers and not doers? Because Jesus was all about doing, wasn't he? Can you remember a time in the gospel when Jesus wasn't a doer of the words he spoke? So if we're believers, you would think that we would be doing. We can be more helpful, James says, if we actually do, not just hear. As for sound advice, we must necessarily heed James's words, be doers of the word and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. Now, why would you deceive yourself? Because, see, you think by telling people the gospel that you're doing? He says, no. For if any are hearers of the word and not doers, they are like those who look at themselves in a mirror. For they look at themselves and on going away, immediately forget what they were like. You know, you run by a mirror, you look, you make sure your hair is good, you walk off, and then you start worrying about your hair again because you don't remember. That's not who we are to be. And if we go out and we spread the gospel and say, this is the gospel, but we never actually live it, it's all smoke. People see it. They say it's smoke and mirrors. That's what Christians are all about. They're going to tell you everything, but they're not actually going to live it. And when they get angry, they hate just like anyone else. And when they get angry, they mistreat people just like anyone else. And they're always willing to offer advice, but they're not willing to do. Many of us, if we give advice and someone doesn't take it, or if we ask someone to do something, like help us to carry something, and they don't do it, we become angry. Did you hear that? We become angry because they're not doers. What do we do when we're not doers? James tells us while sitting in the pews hearing the word or sitting in a Sunday school class hearing a lesson, we should be thinking about how we can live it out. How we can do it. Not just walk out and say, you know, I heard these great words. If we are hearing, we should be slow to anger. We need to figure out how we can do it, how we can be more like Jesus, how we can live a meek but strong life. A meek but strong life. The two are not mutually exclusive. You know, there was a preacher and he was walking along with his son. It's kind of like me and Seth. I wish I could say this was a story about me and Seth, but the preacher's walking along with his son and this guy approached the preacher. He's a member of his congregation. At one point, the man asked the preacher his opinion of another man that had been at great odds with the preacher. The preacher said something along the lines of, "Oh, I think he's a good man." Not long after that, the man went on his way. And once the father and son were alone again, the son looked up at his dad and said, I thought that man hated you and you couldn't stand him. Or he couldn't stand you. Why were you so complimentary toward him when you were asked what you thought of him? To which the preacher said, because, son, I wouldn't ask his opinion, what his opinion of me was, but my opinion of him. We can be hated, we can be disliked, but that doesn't mean we have to hate or dislike. So the son knows this guy hates his father, he knows he can't stand his father, but the father says, I think he's a good man. That's my opinion of him. I wasn't asked what his opinion of me was. Feelings of hate and dislike don't have to be reciprocal. This is a great example of meekness. Many people think meekness is weakness, but it couldn't be further from what the word means. And when you look at the life of Christ, you see that that is true. Meekness is controlled strength. Please listen carefully. Meekness is controlled strength. Think about it. A horse hasn't lost its strength when it gets harnessed. It has gained usefulness and not lost 1 ounce of strength. When we choose to direct our power to be constructive rather than destructive, that doesn't display weakness, but meekness, controlled strength. And you've heard me say many times, and I'll continue to say it, it is much harder to build up than to tear down. You can call a company today and they can come get a wrecking ball and tear this church to pieces in just a couple of days. But I promise you, for those of you who know, it didn't take a couple of days to build. It's the same way with the life of Christ. We are called to build people up, not tear them down. That's too easy. And Christ never called us to do anything easy. Did not Solomon say in Proverbs 16:32, "One who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and one whose temper is controlled than one who captures a city." Proverbs, our wisdom book. So James adds this to our reading. "But those who look into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and persevere, being not hearers who forget, but doers who act, they will be blessed in their doing." James wants us to be doers who act. He says they'll be blessed in their doing. I can look around, I see some of you are thinking, "Yeah, you know, preacher, that's easily said, but not easily done." Some people really get on my nerves. Some people are just hard to like. Aren't they? Have you met someone like that? They're just hard to like. Well, what do? You do what Christ said. When Jesus walked this earth, he still helped them. Why? Because he was a doer of the word, not just a hearer of the word. One of the men named in the beginning of this sermon was Gandhi. If ever one were meek but strong, it was he. He who walked in the shoes of Christ, the firstborn of meekness and strength, and we can all be that person if we're true believers. It is when we judge words of Scripture to just be smoke, something that comes out, then blows away in the wind. "Well, Jesus said we are to love one another, but he knows that's not possible, and we'll just tell the world that." Yeah, I'm going to tell you the words that Jesus spoke, but I want you to know I don't really believe that. I don't think it's possible. Then we defeat ourselves. For we can never be doers if we aren't believers. Makes sense? If you don't believe what Christ did, if you don't believe what Jesus said when he walked this earth, how are you ever going to do it? You're not. It hits hard, doesn't it? To think we are at our core non-believers when we judge Scripture to be smoke. We just say it, but we don't have to live it. Oh, we like to hear the beautiful, sweet words of Scripture, but heaven forbid that we try to live the words of Scripture. And therein lies the words of James. "For if any hearers of the word and not doers," if any are hearers of the word and not doers, "they are like those who look at themselves in a mirror. For they look at themselves and on going away immediately forget what they were like." You understand where James is coming from now? Are words of Scripture just smoke to you? Or have you made a commitment to do those words that you read. And remember James's closing words. If any think they are religious and do not bridle their tongues, but deceive their hearts, their religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to care for orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained by the world. And folks, if you're a hater, if you're not a doer of the word, would you think you've been stained by this world? Is your religion worthless or pure? It's not only you who knows, but those around you see what you do, and they know whether or not you are a hearer or doer of the word. After all, for many, seeing is believing. So if you're spouting the gospel, but you're not living the gospel, people will know. There's no getting around it. Let us pray. Lord, we come before you knowing that many times we do believe that the words of Scripture are just smoke and mirrors, and we go on acting the way we've always acted, never truly changing our hearts and minds, and we ask that you forgive us, that you give us the strength and the courage to be meek, to live the words, to be doers of the word. We give you thanks for this scripture. We give you thanks for your son. We give you thanks for this church. And we give you thanks for the love that we share. All these things we bring to you in your son's name. Amen.
We're glad that you joined us today for this special message, and we pray that you will join us again next week as God's word is brought to you.